Princess Casamassima by Henry James. Chapter 1.
"Oh, yes, I dare say I can find the child, if you would like to see him," Miss Pinson said. She had a fluttering wish to assent to every suggestion made by her visitor, whom she regarded as a high and rather terrible personage. To look for the little boy, she came out of her small parlour, which she had been ashamed to exhibit in so untidy a state, with paper patterns lying about on the furniture and snippings of stuff scattered over the carpet. She came out of this somewhat stuffy sanctuary, dedicated at once to social intercourse and to the ingenious art to which her life had been devoted, and, opening the house door, turned her eyes up and down the little street. It would presently be tea-time, and she knew that at that solemn hour Hyacinth narrowed the circle of his wanderings. She was anxious and impatient, and in a fever of excitement and complacency, not wanting to keep Mrs. Bowerbank waiting, though she had sat there, heavily and consideringly, as if she meant to stay, and wondering not a little whether the object of her quest would have a dirty face. Mrs. Bowerbank had intimated so definitely that she thought it remarkable on Miss Pinson's part to have taken care of him gratuitously for so many years, that the humble dressmaker, whose imagination took flights about every one but herself, and who had never been conscious of an exemplary benevolence, suddenly aspired to appear throughout as devoted to the child as she had struck her solemn, substantial guest as being, and felt how much she should like to have him come in fresh and frank, and looking as pretty as he sometimes did. Miss Pinsent, who blinked confusedly as she surveyed the outer prospect, was very much flushed, partly with the agitation of what Mrs. Bowerbank had told her, and partly because when she offered that lady a drop of something refreshing at the end of so long an expedition, she had said she couldn't think of touching anything unless Miss Pinsent would keep her company. The chiffonier, as Amanda was always careful to call it, beside the fireplace, yielded up a small bottle which had formerly contained eau de cologne, and which now exhibited half a pint of a rich, gold-coloured liquid. Miss Pinsent was very delicate. She lived on tea and watercress, and she kept the little bottle in the chiffonier only for great emergencies. She didn't like hot brandy and water with a lump or two of sugar, but she partook of half a tumbler on the present occasion, which was of a highly exceptional kind. At this time of day the boy was often planted in front of the little sweet shop on the other side of the street, an establishment where periodical literature, as well as tough toffee and hard lollipops, was dispensed, and where song-books and pictorial sheets were attractively exhibited in the small-paned, dirty window. He used to stand there for half an hour at a time, spelling out the first page of the romances in the Family Herald and the London Journal, and admiring the obligatory illustration in which the noble characters—they were always of the highest birth—were presented to the carnal eye. When he had a penny he spent only a fraction of it on stale sugar candy. With the remaining halfpenny he always bought a ballad with a vivid woodcut at the top. Now, however, he was not at his post of contemplation, nor was he visible anywhere to Miss Pinsent's impatient glance.
"Millicent Henning, tell me quickly, have you seen my child?" These words were addressed by Miss Pinsent to a little girl who sat on the doorstep of the adjacent house, nursing a dingy doll, and who had an extraordinary luxuriance of dark brown hair surmounted by a torn straw hat. Miss Pinsent pronounced her name Enning. The child looked up from her dandling and patting, and after a stare of which the blankness was somewhat exaggerated, replied, "Lor, no, Miss Pinson, I never see him." "Aren't you always messing around with him, you naughty little girl?" the dressmaker returned with sharpness. "Isn't he round the corner playing marbles or some jumping game?" Miss Pinson went on, trying to be suggestive. "I assure you he never plays nothing," said Millicent Henning, with a mature manner which she bore out by adding, "and I don't know why I should be called naughty neither." "Well, if you want to be called good, please go and find him, and tell him there's a lady here come on purpose to see him this very instant." Miss Pinsent waited a moment to see if her injunction would be obeyed.